Thanks for being with us on The Takeaway this hour. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we have a look now at how trafficking and the illegal sex trade impact communities all over the country. There are thousands of businesses in America that claim to be massage parlors, but in reality operate more like brothels. Women perform sex acts in the guise of massage, and in many cases are underpaid, overworked, and abused. It's estimated that some 23,000 to 25,000 women work under these conditions, and the women are often victims of sex trafficking.
We're talking about a nearly $3 billion business across the United States, and pimps know that this is a business that is not cracked down upon in many states.
Philip Martin is senior investigative reporter at our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. And along with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, Philip's been looking into the lucrative business of erotic massage parlors. These businesses are actually very easy to find. They often just take a simple Google search, but common internet technology and even legal loopholes have authorities constantly behind when trying to prosecute.
What you find are customers, just like you find Yelp, you find that these customer review sites are being used by hundreds of thousands of men in the United States. It's one of the most popular sites in the United States, one that's called RubMaps. And RubMaps is what Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey's office used that led to an investigation into alleged sex traffickers who ran an operation in the western part of the state in Hadley, but as well as in East Longmeadow and Framingham. Now, users of this site, RubMaps, run by a guy out of Cyprus, they see it as a comprehensive crowdsourced review site like Yelp. For my reporting, Todd, I talked with a successful local businessman who we'll call Michael. Now, he used to frequent these places to satisfy a habit. We've disguised his voice to protect his identity.
They had some reviews on there which specified locations, names of specific therapists, and what acts they would actually perform for you. So you can have a basic search, which would say, you know, pull up for me all of the massage places in Brighton or in Worcester.
And again, these are maps. They're like, for folks who are into the illicit massage business, it's like a treasure map. It tells you exactly where to go and what you can expect.
Philip, talk about the women who work in these illicit massage parlors and the exploitation that goes on through immigration channels and essentially the clandestine sex trade.
Well, Todd, what the Boston Police Department's human trafficking unit, what they've found is that many of the women found at illicit massage parlors in Massachusetts, they've traveled this well-worn path from Korea, from Thailand and China through Flushing, Queens. That seems to be a depot for human trafficking in this country. And they've traveled through Flushing, Queens here to the Bay State. Now, the illegal massage business can be the only option for some undocumented women from Asia. Many times they arrive at these places, their passports are taken away. And that's what happened to one of the women I interviewed. We'll call her Susan for the sake of this report. She ended up in brothels disguised as massage parlors up and down the East Coast, including New England. Here she is speaking through an interpreter.
At the time, I thought it was just massages and didn't think more about anything. And the boss basically told me I needed to give my passport to them, so I will not run away with their money.
Philip, if Susan has surrendered her passport and also, I'm sure, is very short on money, this quickly becomes a form of forced labor, indentured servitude.
It does, though it's also complex, I have to say, because we spoke to a fellow named John Chin, who is a researcher, and he has done research on massage parlors and massage parlor workers, quote-unquote workers, and found that some individuals do not regard themselves as victims of human trafficking. But again, he says it's difficult because in many cases, they have few other options, and many owe money to smugglers. And so many of those smugglers become traffickers because a debt is being paid off. So the whole issue of choice is very, very complex.
Well, what about the police here? I imagine they're far more interested in going after smugglers and traffickers than they are after individual women. Has it been difficult for them to prosecute?
Very difficult. And you hit the nail on the head. The notion of going after the women is becoming a passe form of prosecution. They're looking to try to prosecute the operators of these so-called massage parlors. So law enforcement officials, they can, again, they've found many of these suspected sex traffickers because of the proliferation of ad sites that advertise women, basically, in these massage places. But it's rarely led to prosecutions. As a result of my reporting, among those I spoke with was Lieutenant Donna Gavin, who heads up the Boston Police Anti-Trafficking Division. She says trying to shut down these places is like playing whack-a-mole. You shut down one, another opens up. Here's Lieutenant Gavin.
You can see the number of massage ads going up, it seems, like I said, on services with Backpage and Craigslist. I think it's a much larger network of probably organized crime. It's a big industry, and a lot of people are making a lot of money.
Philip, the police are fighting sophisticated networks of traffickers. They're fighting the internet. And they're also fighting, frankly, an industry that always has a healthy market. Do they see any solutions to this?
There are several proposals to try to crack down on illicit massage businesses. One is to basically close the loophole in Massachusetts. And this is true for other states, too, Todd. This loophole basically permits body works. And so illicit massage parlor owners essentially classify their business as body works. So there is legislation being proposed in Massachusetts. And by the way, it's been proposed before, but it's been opposed by individuals like a physical therapist, believe it or not, who are afraid that it would be too broad. But the idea is to close this loophole and to basically force licensing of body works in the same way that massage businesses are licensed. Another suggestion from the Attorney General's office is the old-fashioned crackdown on massage businesses, but in a more concerted fashion, a more systematic way. And of course, groups like Demand Abolition, an anti-human trafficking group out of Massachusetts, say the best thing to do is basically to educate and focus on the demand side of this industry, which of course are the men, people like Michael, who we heard earlier.
Philip Martin with WGBH in Boston. Philip, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
You can check out the series by Philip Martin and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting at thetakeaway.org.